Welcome to the Peak Elevated, our bonus content interviews. And today we have Shelley Augustine of Advocate to Educate, just finished up her broadcast discussing advocating for special needs education and students and parents and educators and all around in our region. And in this bonus segment, we're going to be talking about how, especially how parents can get meaningfully involved with the education of their special needs students. Shelley Augustine, welcome to the Peak Elevated.
Thank you for having me.
So, give a little bit of your background. Hopefully people listen to the podcast, but just in case, a little bit on your background, and then let's get into specifically how you help parents become advocates.
Sure. I've been in the field since pretty much 2010, working in some faction or another. Started out with creating parent support groups through on military installations to help parents of children with disabilities to gain resources, information, and I would bring in people. At one of the posts, I brought people in to speak to educate the families, and then I was trained. I'm a trained non-attorney consultant and advocate, which is important. I'm not an attorney, so and I've just been in this space helping families individually and doing some work with, you know, educators and entities on training people in this field.
Okay, so how can parents of special needs students not feel helpless within the system and really fight for the rights and the benefits that are due to their students specifically in the public school system, but really everywhere that they need to advocate for their students?
Yeah, so I think that one of the things I tell parents is to go to your state website and look at the resources there for families of children with disabilities. There's a lot there. I have to say our CDE website is not the most user-friendly. It's sometimes difficult to find things. But I think if you go there and, like, for instance, there's the procedural guidance document for an IEP that's available that parents can read through. And there's a lot of information in there. So I first tell them, sometimes when they call me and I give them like a 15, 20 minute consult just over the phone, I send them there and I say, start looking to see what's there to help you. And then I tell them, get educated any way you can, anything you can learn. Go to Peak Parent Center. They're their training and parent information center, and they do webinars on like IEP 101. You know, I work with Peak on some things as well. But I think just finding areas to get educated on, learn as much as you can about your own child's disability so that you're able to advocate for it there. And then I also think that you need to, as a parent, understand data, because that data is so important when you get to constructing an IEP. They do an initial assessment for special education services. If your child qualifies, it's that data that's in that assessment that helps you to construct an IEP, to decide what services they need, what goals they need, what supports they need. So really understand those things. And if you're at the table and somebody's talking over your head, throwing acronyms at you like I sometimes do, please stop me or them and ask them what that means. And then always be prepared to ask them to slow down. Like, I know they sometimes want to complete something in 1 hour, you know, but if it's a lot to take on and there's things you don't understand, you have the right as a parent to say, wait, stop. Help me understand that better. How does that come into play for my child, right? So, and look for really good data. If there isn't really good data or really clear information in your IEP and your present levels every year, you redo your individual education program, the document, every year annually. And so they should have the information on the goals that they were working on last year, and any new information that they have should be in that present levels, and it should be data driven. And you should be able to take that data and write a baseline for a goal and make decisions about everything from accommodations to related services to one-to-one para support to healthcare needs. All of those things should be captured in that thing. So don't be afraid to stop and ask questions, right? And then I would also say, I know this is really emotional. I get it. I'm a parent of with these same situations that you guys are facing. I've been through all of that. And so that is very relatable to me. And so I think that it's really important to try as best you can to leave your emotions at the door, right? Come prepared, make a list, have your own agenda about things that you want to talk about, and make sure that gets heard and answered, right? There's an area in the IEP that is the parent input section, and I encourage parents to write that. Keep it brief, bullet point it, but be specific, be clear. Let them know what you're looking for, what your concerns are, what you wish for your child, right? That's how you become a meaningful parent participant, which is one of the requirements of IDEA. And so it's not just showing up at the table, checking the box and saying, I'm here and listening and walking away. Like, if you want results for your child, if you want them to make progress, it's super important for you to be able to know what they're talking about and to add that real, true parent input based on the data that they provide to you.
Great. So in dealing with, if there's anybody listening who's, you know, an educator in this realm and they deal with these parents, or we're just neighbors or friends, you know, what is it that we need to know about what parents of special needs children and special needs children are going through so that we can help them, minister to them, or, you know, people that are in the administrative system do a better job?
Right. I would say friends, family, even neighbors and educators, we need to put ourselves in other people's shoes. Like, I know sometimes that's hard because if you don't have that experience in your life, but you can learn about how to put yourself in somebody else's shoes if you talk to them, if you get to know them, if you understand that a parent that you're sitting at the table with who's emotional and maybe seems a little agitated, had, you know, has four children at home, all with special needs, they have a lot on their plate. And so this is really a societal thing, is that we need to understand the people that we're living in society with. But when you're working with families in at kind of this high level of kind of intensity that families sometimes feel in IEP meetings, not always, it's time to kind of step back and ask that family member, like, are you feeling okay today? Like, do we need to slow down? You know, if you're a neighbor, like, hey, I saw you just sitting on the porch with your head down today. Hey, you know, can I help you? Can I support you? Can I watch your kids for half an hour? Like, just simple things like that. Because being a parent of a child with a special need or a disability is complex. It is overwhelming. It's exhausting. There's a lot of things that we don't consider when we're moving to the table as educators and when we're people in society who are interacting. I think churches could do a really great job in providing a space, a respite care space for families who just need a break. I mean, that what better space than for our society to support these families? Because, you know, and I think even for members of your church or not members of your church, I think making that resource available to people would be very helpful. I used to be at a church that provided a respite care service, and I actually work with the siblings of students with disabilities because that's a difficult space too, and that's a whole nother topic. But I loved that that existed. I loved that there was a place for the parents to drop those kids off. They were safe, they were engaging with things, and they could be gone for 4 hours. Go to a movie, go to a dinner, nothing to worry about. Both for the child with the special need or the disability and for their siblings. It freed that family up. And if we can support families in that way, from table meeting tables, you know, to our society, I think parents will know that they feel like somebody's got their back. That when it goes bad or when it's hard, somebody cares. And I think that's a super important part of supporting families with children who have disability.
Do you advise churches? Do you speak at churches? Or
I haven't in a long time. I think it would be I would be so open to that. I think it's super important. And I think that's a place that churches could really step into to support their members and others in their community.
And train like their child care people and things like that.
Yeah. And I'd be happy to, you know, work with churches to help parents, to train parents around education, around special education and IEPs so that they can feel more prepared when they step in that room. They're not overwhelmed, because when someone's overwhelmed, they're not thinking well. Think about it. Like, it's like trauma. It's like we talked about with, you know, with the Jewish students at in education. When you're not in a good space to think and process, you're not going to be able to participate well.
Okay. Finish up. What are your encouraging words to parents who have special education students?
First of all, I send you a big hug. I want to say thank you for being those advocates at whatever level you can be at for your child. I know it's hard. I think that you're doing a great job. I know there's a lot of challenges in society and school and, you know, medical funding. There's a lot of things going on, but keep doing the good work. Don't be afraid to speak speak what you're thinking and feeling, but do it in a constructive manner. Like, step into that space with compassion and conviction on both sides of the table, right? And don't be afraid. And you have means to solve problems, so utilize those. And if you don't, find ways to do it so that your child can get what they need and you can take care of yourself.
Okay, wonderful. Shelley Augustine of Advocate to Educate, thanks for being on The Peak Elevated.
Thanks for having me.
And the website is advocate2educate.com. I'm Chaim Goldman for The Peak.